All right, let us begin then. As usual, every year we begin with the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Be seated. You know, it's a joy to be here. Every year we were looking for that, for this moment, and I need it, you need it. Everyone needs that. And a lot easier than anything else. Beloved brothers in Christ, Christ is in our midst. With a great joy, I greet all of you today. I look forward to this gathering every year. I can think of no better way for us as a clergy to strengthen ourselves for our journey to Pascha than to gather as a brotherhood for prayer, learning, and fellowship. Over the course of 24 years, this seminar has served to help forge strong bonds of brotherhood, to deepen our spiritual lives, and to call us to ever greater pastoral care of our flocks. As I introduce our speaker for this year, I have great confidence that this year will continue in the great tradition of our previous seminars. We are blessed this year to welcome Father Theodore Pulcini as our speaker. Father Theodore is one of the most respected clergy of our archdiocese. Having served as one of our priests for 35 years, he has shepherded our parish of St. Mary in Chamberburg from a mission to a strong and vibrant church. He is also a renowned scholar and professor of religion and philosophy at Dickinson College. He is published as an author of both scholarly and popular works, such as the very well-read pamphlet on the differences between Orthodoxy and Catholicism. Despite my pleas to the contrary, Father Theodore prevailed upon me to accept his petition to retire. While I did so reluctantly, I wish him the very best, and I am letting him know from now that I consider his retirement from the parish to be my way of utilizing him more and more on behalf of the entire archdiocese. So we wish you, Father, a blessed retirement. But one that will be busy nonetheless. Usually, when someone mentions offering a second invitation to a speaker to speak at the same event, someone will complain that the group has heard from that speaker before, and that the group should now hear from someone new. This is not the case with Father Theodore. We are very excited to have Father Theodore with us again, and we greatly anticipate learning from him during our time together. Father Theodore's theme is taken from the Great Litany, that we may be delivered from all affliction, wrath, danger, and necessity, Let us pray to the Lord. The Great Litany, also known as the Litany of Peace, the Ectenia, comes immediately following the exclamation of the celebrant, "Blessed is the kingdom of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." The celebrant proclaims that we are entering the kingdom of God into the very presence of Christ. It is instructive that after we proclaim our entering into the kingdom, we intone, "In peace, let us pray to the Lord." We cannot, as celebrants, as clergy who stand before the holy altar, as before the very throne of God, serve without being at peace. We should have peace with ourselves by having a clear conscience. Let me remind you what we spoke about last summer at the clergy symposium. The priest who has himself as his own spiritual father has a fool for a spiritual son. Make sure to avail yourselves of frequent and sincere confession. Be at peace with your families, with your flocks, and with all others. Ask forgiveness of those you have offended. Be easy to offer your forgiveness to others. The Liturgicon contains the instructions of St. Basil the Great to priests, and among the first are these. This is a quote, I quote, "Never stand at the synaxis having hatred toward anyone so as not to banish the comforter. On the day of synaxis, do not judge, do not argue, but remain praying and reading in the church until the appointed hour in which you will accomplish the divine and sacred ceremonies, and thus stand with compunction and purity of heart in the holy sanctuary. Not looking around here and there." You know, in some churches, like the just out of the text, in some churches, you know, while I am reading like one of the serious prayers, like "no one is bound with the desires and whatever," or "let us bow our heads unto the Lord," the priest is not there, not around the holy table. So I said it many, many times to you. Nothing matters. While we are in the presence of God, nothing else matters. The censer, any other things, nothing matters. So not because I am saying that, not because I am with you around the table, but when you are around the table, when you are in the center, so don't move from there anymore. So not looking around here and there, but standing with shuddering and fear before the heavenly King. So offer these holy prayers of the Litany of Peace with peace in your hearts. I would also like you to remember from our discussions last summer that we should not be liturgical robots. After a few years of serving, we all come to know the lines of the Litany of Peace by heart. The temptation is to render all of them mechanically, with no understanding, no prayerfulness. Let us not succumb to this temptation. We must remember how important each and every sentence, each and every phrase, and each and every word of the divine liturgy is. It is the meeting of heaven and earth. It is our offering to God what is his own to him, that he may share all he is with us. So what are we praying for in this opening litany? Father Thomas Hopko on Ancient Faith Radio once somewhat humorously said, I quote, "I am tempted to say that it is kind of like a shopping list. You put down what you want to get," end of a quote. He clarifies what he means this way, and again, I quote, "We don't ask for specific things in the Great Litany. We just hold these various areas and situations of a human life before the face of God. We hold before God civil authorities. We hold before God armed forces. We hold before God the people who live in our town. We hold before God the weather and the cosmological realities of the planet Earth. We hold before God anybody who is traveling, whether by land, by sea, and by air." So you see how important this is. This is not a shopping list that we recite as liturgical robots. You are the priests standing before the throne of God and holding all of a human life before his face. The people respond by asking the Lord to have mercy, not to seek the clemency of a cruel judge, but to ask the Lord to be merciful and gracious. In the more complete meaning of the Greek word eleison, please give your whole attention when praying these extremely important petitions. Please allow me to say a few words about the petition that will be Father Theodore's theme, that we may be delivered from all affliction, wrath, danger, and necessity. We ask God to deliver us from these ever-present realities of human life that lead to suffering. Of course, we want ourselves, our families, and our flocks to be spared from suffering, from loss of life, or from need, or from constraint. But we live in a fallen world. The kingdom is proclaimed in the liturgy, and we experience a foretaste of its blessedness there, but it is still not fully realized for us in this life. I want to remind you of the mystery that is present in this line. We are saved. We are prepared for the kingdom often through the very means of affliction, wrath, danger, and necessity. There is a wonderful book on the Divine Liturgy by Hieromonk Gregorius of Kutlumusiu Monastery on Mount Athos. Have you seen it? It's a beautiful one. I got it, and I used some of it here. So in his exposition of this petition, he writes about affliction that is necessary for salvation. He writes, and I quote, "At the beginning, we experience the pain of affliction, but if we experience that temporary pain with patience, we go on to experience the peaceful fruit. The peace of Christ enters into our life." So Father Gregorius brings us full circle. You pray that your flock is delivered from all of these types of suffering. But we are realistic that in this life they will be there. We ask God to deliver us from them to the extent it is good for our salvation. Your role as the clergy is learn the humble and patient endurance of the suffering that God does allow according to his divine economy, and to acquire that peace we spoke of at the beginning. And you must be with your people, suffer with your people, shed tears with your people, that they may acquire also a spirit of peace in the face of their suffering. We lead by our own example, and we lead by our descending into the lives of our people to co-suffer with them. And, of course, we never stop beseeching God on their behalf. Pray fervently for them. Beloved brothers in Christ, once again, I offer my fatherly greetings to you and express my joy at being here with you. I pray that God will bless our time together with the rich gifts of his bounty, joy in fellowship, grace in prayer, and strength in brotherhood. God bless you. So it is a profound theme. So let us begin our session, the first session, with our speaker. And you know, like, these lines are not unusual, unknown to us. We hear them all the time, we recite them all the time, we intone them all the time. But let us, you know, like, dig deeper and deeper in order to understand what they mean. Father,
please welcome Father.